Live from ASH, I'm going to be discussing abstract number 287, enasidenib is highly active in previously untreated IDH2 mutant AML, early results from the BEAT-AML master study. So the BEAT-AML master study is a large precision medicine study where patients are assigned a specific genomic subgroup based on whether they have a targetable mutation that is available. So the way this works is patients sign up for what's called the master protocol. They have their bone marrow sample sent to a central lab where we get genomic results back within 7 days of sample receipt. Once that genomic data is available, the patient then gets assigned to a treatment subgroup based on what their genomic mutations are. So what I'm going to be talking about right now is the S3 subgroup. This is a subgroup of patients who had IDH2 mutant AML. In patients with IDH2 mutant AML, overall, this occurs in approximately 15 to 20% of patients with acute myeloid leukemia. And IDH2 mutations lead to the production of the cancer-associated oncometabolite beta-hydroxyglutarate. There's a very potent inhibitor of mutant IDH2 out there, a drug called enasidenib, and that enasidenib, at least in the relapsed and refractory setting, led to an overall response rate of about 40% in patients with IDH2 mutant relapsed and refractory acute myeloid leukemia. What we wanted to do in this S3 subprotocol of the BEAT-AML trial was see if there were patients who were newly diagnosed, older than the age of 60, who could get enasidenib and see what their outcomes would be. And that's what we did. There were 28 patients enrolled on this trial. That is 28 patients who were assigned to start therapy with enasidenib. One of those patients, for a variety of reasons, dropped out of the study before they got their first dose of treatment. But for those 27 patients who got enasidenib monotherapy, the response rates were really quite remarkable. The response rate, including complete remission and complete remission with incomplete count recovery, was 44.4%. That is, over 40% of patients achieved a complete remission or a complete remission with partial hematologic recovery. That's really a remarkable result, a result that we don't typically see in this older patient population with standard chemotherapy. Finally, this drug seemed remarkably safe. The adverse event that was highest and the severe adverse event that was highest was what's called differentiation syndrome. That occurred in 21.4% of patients. Differentiation syndrome is a non-cardiogenic edematous state that occurs when the cytokines get released from the differentiating cells. And when these cytokines get released, they cause this capillary leak syndrome. The treatment for this is giving dexamethasone steroids, 10 milligrams twice a day. The important point for the practicing clinician is that if there is a patient on enasidenib and that patient starts complaining of anything that sounds like pulmonary edema, that is dyspnea on exertion, leg swelling, anything like that, that's a patient that should be seen in the clinic immediately to decide whether you think they do have differentiation syndrome, and if there's any hint of differentiation syndrome, they should get on dexamethasone 10 milligrams twice a day immediately. One other point I want to make is that of the patients who didn't respond, 5 out of 6 patients with RAS pathway mutations did not respond to enasidenib monotherapy. So what we think now, based on the analyses that have been done, is that we need a better strategy for those patients, a better strategy for patients who are RAS mutated and IDH mutated, because they don't seem to respond well to IDH inhibitors alone. Thank you very much.